Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. On the InvestUSA.org microphone, this is Lock and Load, and now we're going to be speaking with writer Dean Weingarten from Amaland.com. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing very well, thank you.
I asked Dean a question over the weekend. I called him, I think, Friday or Saturday. I don't know what day it was. And we started talking about there's this substrata of humanity out there, Dean, that just absolutely thinks that you should only ever... If a bear's coming at you, you should only have bear spray, right?
I've seen that. It's been a very active sales campaign.
Is
if you go on the internet, you can find dozens, hundreds of articles,
right,
about how wonderful bear spray is, and you find very little about how firearms work better. And a lot of it is what I've written. And it's... It's very similar to the whole climate change in a much reduced scale.
Right.
I mean, the studies about how effective bear spray are not really scientific. They have a lot of bias in them, and they are misread a lot in ways to make them sound much more important than they are. So while that is touted out there, if you look at the actual data, you find it's far different.
Well, I mean, and you mentioned the climate change thing. The other thing that I find interesting is that aren't they reintroducing a lot of wolves and bears and mountain lions and all these other places into these habitats, I guess under some guise of, well, you know, we're just bringing it back to where it used to be or something. Aren't they reintroducing all these predators?
It's a silly premise.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. There is a sort of neo-pagan religion out there.
Right.
That holds that essentially we should worship nature as they define it, and that somehow we should accept large predators in our communities because they think it's a good idea. I mean, that's all.
In the backyard.
There is no logical reason to say we should, other than unless people want large predators in their communities. What it appears to me is that there's a segment of the population that is emotionally driven to adore certain mammals,
okay,
like wolves or bears. And they see cutesy depictions of these mammals in movies and on television that are mostly fake and hide much of the real attributes of the animals. And then they are told that these animals are at risk. And if we don't bring them back to areas which we got rid of them from about 100 years ago, that there's a problem.
Right.
And they even claim that it's necessary to bring these animals back in order to get some kind of nature which they like better than the nature that exists now. I mean, there is no balance in nature. Let's just state that right up front.
Right.
Nature is in constant flux. It's some species come, they go. Other species come, they go. Habitats change. The population levels between various species go up and down in fairly unpredictable ways.
Right.
Climate and the plant species change at all. I mean, it was only a few thousand years ago where you didn't have any trees along most of the Pacific Northwest. It was all under ice.
Right. Well, I mean, I've read somewhere that 99% of the species that have ever walked the earth are extinct.
Yes, that's probably correct.
Yeah.
It's hard to make an exact quantification because we don't. The fossil record is not complete.
Right.
We don't even have a good estimate of how many species are on the earth right now.
Right.
They're constantly discovering new insect species, occasionally a new fish or frog. It's how many species are out there at any one time is hard to be certain of. And part of this is because the activists are constantly changing what the definition of a species is. And there's a reason to do this. The more species you can define, the more spaces you can claim need to be served by endangered species protections.
Right.
So if you could say, well, I've got a grizzly bear here, but it's a subalpine California northern grizzly over there, and in Idaho, it's a subalpine northern grizzly in pine habitat, and even though the genetics make it essentially the same animal, but you've defined separate species in different areas, you can leverage that into political power. So there is a strong motivation for activists to keep splitting species into more and more subgroups so they can use them to their political advantage.
That's, thinking about it.
So,
I mean,
but in terms of bear spray there's only a couple of papers that actually tried to quantify how useful bear spray is.
Right.
And the two are just one and a slight extension to it. The one is efficacy of bear deterrent spray in Alaska by Tom Smith and Stephen Herrero, and it was published in 2006. I have to check here, and I'll be able to tell you. But it was published, about 15 to 20 years ago, and there were a lot of things about it that people don't realize. And one of them was that it involved a very small number of cases. The actual number of events that were studied were 71. And these were only events in which bear spray was sprayed. It did not include events where bear spray was not sprayed. Now, that makes sense. I mean, to me, it makes sense that why would you include an event when bear spray wasn't used if you're trying to figure out whether bear spray works or not?
Right.
So they only included events where bear spray was sprayed, and there's 71 of them. Now, of those 71, 21 were where bear management specialists went out looking for bears and sprayed them with bear spray. Usually in parks or research settings, something like that. We don't know most of the details of these settings because Smith and Herrero refused to release their data.
Right.
So we get little bits and pieces that you can get from looking at the charts and the numbers used in the study, but they don't tell you critical pieces of information. For example, we know that there were 4 failures of bear spray.
Hang on right there. We're coming up on the first break talking about bear spray. Is it good? Is it bad? How good is it? We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
Officer.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Welcome back. On the InvestUSA.org microphone, this is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about the efficacy of bear spray, which seems to be... I see a lot of parallels with the bear spray in the same way. You know, they're introducing all of these species back into what essentially works out to be the backyard in some cases, right?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, and then... They want
for
you
some
to get
people,
out.
It is.
Yeah. And
the major people who are in support of introducing these species are people who do not live where they're being introduced.
Right.
And from what I've seen, it's mainly urban women who support policies.
Right.
And it's mainly people who live where these animals are being reintroduced who don't support them. Now, I was talking about the original study on bear spray. It's called Efficacy of Bear Deterrent Spray in Alaska by Tom Smith and Stephen Herrera.
Right.
And one of the co-authors is J.M. Wilder. Wilder happens to be the editor of the journal in which this study was published. So there's a little bit of conflict of interest there. So there were only 71 cases that they looked at. And of those 71, at least, well, 21 of them were cases where people in bear management went out to look for bears and then sprayed them. Now, that's a lot different than somebody in the woods with a bear coming at them that they didn't know was there. So the number of cases is fairly small, and they only looked at cases where bear spray was sprayed. And that makes sense to me. Why would you look at cases where bear spray was not sprayed if you're trying to figure out whether bear spray works or not? So we're looking at relatively small number of cases, most of them in parks. I think there was only one case that involved a hunter. About 23 or 4 of them were hikers. So it's a small number of cases, only where bear spray was sprayed, and they had a few failures. They had about, I think, 4 failures out of the 71 cases, and they also mostly had non-aggressive bears. Aggressive
right.
grizzly bears were only 14 of the 71 cases. So it's a subgroup, and it's a fairly small sample, and it that has almost no hunters in it. So then, a few years later, oh, and the timing was, it was from 1985 to 2006. I was a little off on the timing. 1985 to 2006. Then they did an update on this study it was published in 2018. And the update was part of a human bear conflicts 1880 to 2015. So the original study only went through 2006. In the additional 9 years, well, let's see, it'd be 2007, yeah, to 2015, 9 years, they only found 4 more cases. So in the update, they went from 71 cases to 75 cases. Now, this seems a little odd to me, because bear spray was becoming more and more popular all this time. And yet, you go from 71 cases in the initial study to only 4 more over 9 years? I haven't looked to see what bear spray cases I can find in those 9 years, but I suspect I will find more than 4. And of those bear spray cases, they had another failure, and with that, they claim the efficacy of the bear spray was to alter the behavior of aggressive bears, is how they put it, was 93%. Okay. And it's a very limited study, but that's what they're claiming. 93.3%. Now, I looked at claims all over the internet say bear spray is 98% effective. Well, where do they get that number from? What they do is they look at how many people were injured in the 71 cases, or the 74. In the 74, there were 4 injuries. And then they look at how many people were involved. And some of these bear spray incidents involve a fairly large group of people, maybe 10 or 15 people. And you have a bear spray, and then the bear runs away and doesn't injure anybody. So they add up all the people that were involved in all these incidents, and they come up with a number of, around 200, I think. And they say, well, there were only 4 people injured out of 200 and some involved. Therefore, bear spray is 98% effective. Even though in the incidents of 71 incidents, of which 21 were management sprays of bears they were harassing, they had 4 failures. So how can you get from 4 or 5 failures for 75, of which I think we should exclude the 21 cases of management where a professional is going out and spraying a bear under controlled circumstances.
Right.
I mean, after all, if you have a park professional go out and shoot a bear that's a problem bear, would you rate that as a successful defense of using firearms? I wouldn't.
No. That's a little that's sort of a staged thing, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. I tell you what, hold on right there. Hold on right there. We're coming up on the next break. I didn't get a chance to, give you the proper accolade that you get. Dean, of course, Dean Weingarten, he is a outspoken defender of the right to keep and bear arms and an accomplished writer and reporter for Ammoland Shooting Sports News and his blog, gunwatch.blogspot.com. In addition to being the most prolific writer on the biggest website of its kind, that being Ammoland.com, with over 2,400 articles waiting for you at Ammoland. This one straight off of the page, the last of the, well, this actually is an open discussion. We're just making this up. You can only get it here. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
USA News Update. Ukrainian President Zelensky expressing gratitude to the U.S. for passing the foreign aid package for Ukraine.
I hope that you and the Americans will feel the result of their help, a result to save Ukraine and Ukrainians.
President Biden announced shipments of military aid will start reaching Ukraine within hours. The Supreme Court will hear arguments Thursday on Donald Trump's claim of absolute immunity against charges related to overturning the 2020 election. The outcome could decide whether Trump faces a federal trial this year on 4 felony counts brought by special counsel Jack Smith. A new report can help determine if you are still earning enough to be considered middle class. Smart Asset, a financial site, analyzed data from the U.S. Census Bureau and the Pew Research Center to establish the middle class salary range in all 50 states. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Back. This is Lock and Load on the InvestUSA.org microphone, talking to Dean Weingarten from Amoland.com, talking about bear spray.
Yeah, did you want to talk about polar bears? Because I think they're a special case that is worth talking about.
Well, let's talk about that. Because now, as insofar as if we're going to rank the bears by how well they take the bear spray, how... I mean, is a polar bear any more resistant to bear spray than a regular, than a grizzly bear, a Kodiak bear?
We don't know, but the circumstances in which polar bears live means that it's much harder to effectively deploy bear spray on a polar bear than it is on most black bears or grizzly bears. Now, between black bears and grizzly bears, it appears bear spray is a little more effective on grizzly bears than on black bears.
Okay.
For whatever reason, black bears seem to be more resistant. Perhaps because if they've decided to be aggressive toward a human, it's usually a predatory attack, and so they're willing to take a little bit of pain in order to pursue a predatory attack. But even with grizzly bears, it's nothing near 100%. Now, we found that after the iteration that was the paper that was published in 2018, which updated some of the original paper published in 2008, the total numbers are small. So it's hard to get really good data, but there's some out there. And we're looking at about roughly a 93% effective rate for the bear spray from those numbers, which are in very different circumstances than what they did for firearms. But we're talking about polar bears. As far as I can tell, of the original 71 incidents, there were two subadult polar bears involved. And what happened is that there were a couple of researchers in a truck at, I think it was a beached whale or some other food source, and these two curious subadult polar bears approach this truck where these two researchers are in, and they roll down the window and spray the polar bears with bear spray. And the polar bears go away. And this is counted as two incidents of successful bear spray on polar bears, and it's the only incident involving polar bears, and the study says the bear spray is 100% effective on polar bears. Now, that sounds like quite a stretch to me.
Yeah.
Well, very limited circumstance.
Now, was the wind blowing?
I don't know, but that's another potential serious problem with bear spray.
Right.
There have been a number of cases where the wind renders bear spray ineffective. And Tom Smith, I have to give him credit, he did a paper and some experimentation on the effect of wind and temperature on bear spray. And aging, too. It's a nice little paper. I think he did a pretty good experimental design with it, and I'll give him credit for doing this work. I mean, they had some old bear spray they tried. They tried the bear spray at different temperatures, and they tried various winds. And what they found was, if there's much wind, the range of the bear spray is extremely limited. You know, to the about 6 to 10 feet, maybe 6 to 12 feet. If there's much crosswind, it's really limited. If there's much headwind, it's really limited. If there's a tailwind, it can be extended. But the wind affects bear spray quite a bit. And when Tom Smith, in a interview, was asked about this, he said, well, what about wind effects? He says, well, you know, most of the really dangerous bear encounters occur in dense forests, and you don't have much wind. And he said, anyway, it'll reach 6 feet, so just wait until the bear's within 6 feet of you and then spray it in the face. Doesn't make sense to
no,
me.
So I guess my question is, do we have any instances where we've waited till the bear gets within 6 feet, and then the bear does get within 6 feet, and the bear gets sprayed, and the bear just keeps coming? Have we had one of those?
Yeah, there's a number of instances. There have been a number of incidents where people have been badly mauled after using bear spray as much as the manufacturers require. I mean, almost perfect uses of bear spray, and they still get severely mauled.
Right.
One of the most obvious of these is Todd Orr. But we've had enough experience with bear spray now to get a number of fatalities where bear spray has been used. And I think that's probably the best measure of how effective a deterrent is. If you use bear spray and somebody still gets killed, well, it didn't really do its job. If you use a handgun, if you fire a handgun,
right,
and somebody still gets killed, well, it failed. Well, I have data from 1890 just to present. About 100 right now, the update will be coming out soon, and it'll be 192 cases where we know that a handgun was fired in defense against bears, and we can document it and give you a date and give you a place. We give you people involved. And usually there's a little synopsis of what happened. Well, we only have one case where it was handgun only, you know, not handgun and a rifle or handgun and a crossbow or handgun and a automobile. We only have one case where it was just a handgun involved where somebody was killed. And that was somebody, a group of people actually, using a .22 caliber handgun in defense against a polar bear up in Svalbard Island in 1995. That's it. We have one case. From 2003 until 2023, we have 8 cases where bear spray was used. And during those 8 cases, 9 people were killed in that much shorter time frame. to me, that indicates that bear spray is not as effective as handguns in stopping bear attacks. Now, what's hard to know is how many people are actually using bear spray and how many people are actually using handguns, because there's a large selection bias that you have to overcome. It's very difficult to overcome. And the selection bias is that if a bear is threatening somebody and they shoot it and it runs off and nothing else happens, they don't usually report it. If a black bear is acting aggressive to somebody and they spray it and it runs off, it doesn't usually get reported. So most successful uses of weapon systems to defend against bears are not reported. So the numbers we look at are almost certainly at the low end of what is possible for effectiveness of these weapon systems.
Well, hang on right there, if you will, coming up on the last break. Now, this discussion is all based upon many articles that Dean has written, and I was just asking questions the other day simply because I look at this, and I mean, I see so many parallels to them introducing all of these animals back into areas where they could hurt people. And at the same time, they're trying to dictate what kind of way you defend yourself against it. And I'm just sort of just makes me wonder. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering next drive.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well,
you see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family.
family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Last time on the firing line from the, or on the InvestUSA.org microphone, we're talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load. Been talking about bear spray because for some reason everybody wants to default. Well, not everybody wants to default to bear spray. Do you go out into the wilderness at all? I can only imagine you going out there with
a gun. Well, I do now and then.
Yeah.
Not very often.
Do you carry bear spray?
No, I carry a handgun.
Okay.
And we were talking about polar bears, and there's a couple interesting things.
Yeah.
One is that the amount of data involving polar bears and bear spray is tiny. There's just a few cases. I don't think there's more than 10 or 11 cases, maybe less, in which bear spray was used. One of the prime places on Earth for polar bear and human conflicts is Svalbard Island, which is administered by Norway. It's north of the Arctic Circle, and it's a place where polar bears tend to congregate, and there aren't very many people, and it's known to have conflicts with polar bears. If you move outside, if you travel outside the major city and it's not a very big city. I think it's about 1,500 people. In Svalbard, you are required to take a powerful rifle or handgun with you,
right,
or shotgun, in order to protect yourself against polar bears. They do not allow bear spray. Bear spray is forbidden in Svalbard. But they do allow you to use and carry a .44 Magnum if you can show you're proficient with it, which is a chore in Norway, but some people do. And I've gotten several incidents in the database where people in Svalbard used handguns to defend against polar bears. And the only one that was not successful was this instance of people using a .22 pistol to try to defend against a polar bear, and it didn't work for them. But they do not allow bear spray in Svalbard. And one of the problems is it's usually pretty cold where the polar bears are. Tom Smith checked out how bear spray works in cold. And when it gets fairly cold, like below around zero or somewhat below,
right,
bear spray doesn't work very well, because the propellant cools down too much, and it instead of coming out in a mist, it tends to come out in a stream. It just doesn't work as well. And in the interview that I was talking about where Tom Smith was talking about his test on weather, they asked him about cold. Well, he says, the easy solution when it's cold, you just carry the bear spray inside your parka to keep it warm.
Sure.
So if a polar bear is threatening you, I guess you're supposed to undo your parka, reach in, pull out the bear spray. And polar bears tend, they often approach slowly because they don't know what humans are, a lot of them. And so they're trying to figure out if you're prey or if you're too dangerous of prey or whatever. So they don't usually just charge you from short range.
Right.
Well, if you take out that bear spray, how long is it going to stay warm in sub-zero temperatures? And yet Tom Smith just blithely says, it's not a problem. Just keep it warm. Well, that's not easy to do. We've had people get frostbitten because they were standing off polar bears with 44 Magnum revolvers, and they would get their hands frostbitten because they were reluctant to shoot the polar bear because it wasn't quite close enough or quite threatening enough yet. And so, you know, they actually lost some function in their hands because it was so cold. So the idea that you could just pull the bear spray out from under your parka, which I don't know if I'd want to have a can of pressurized bear spray inside my parka. And it seems kind of like an invitation to a problem.
Yeah.
So I don't think bear spray is a very good match for polar bears. Polar bears just act differently than grizzlies. They may at times respond to bear spray. It might be something that you'd be willing to have inside a shelter, like a cabin, a heated shed, something like that, where it could be kept warm in shelters. But as for something that I would rely on primarily when I'm out in the weather, I don't think I would rely on it. And the governor of Svalbard simply says, we don't accept it. No bear spray in Svalbard.
That sort of sounds like a detail that would be very hard to overcome. They're sort of saying there's no, you know, we're more interested in the human life than we are in the polar bear life if push comes to shove.
Well, they go to great lengths to prevent people from having to shoot polar bears.
Right.
But if they have to, they shoot them. They don't spray it. Now, what they use for their non-lethal deterrence for polar bears are cracker shells, which are like usually shot out of a 12 gauge or something like that, where it lands, you want to shoot, so it lands in front of the bear and then goes off like a big firecracker. Make a bang. And
right.
Then they also like to use flares, where it's sort of like a highway flare, but smaller. And you shoot that and you try to shoot that in front of the bear and it's giving off hot sparks because it's got, it's basically a thermal device, kind of like a sparkler, but designed to last a fair while. And there have been cases where bears would, they don't know what this is, and they go up to it, and they poke their nose at it, and they get burned, and then they take off. So flares and cracker shells and also warning shots. They like people to shoot warning shots. And in Svalbard, it's implied that warning shots are often valuable and work and chase away bears. And they have incorporated warning shots as part of their procedure. If you don't have cracker shells, the idea is that you use warning shots to try to get the bear to leave so you don't have to kill it. And that's part of their procedures. But they do not include bear spray as part of them. In fact, they forbid it.
That, you know, that interests me so much, just simply because thinking about all of these things that they're trying to set up and everything, but there's actually lots of data out there that points to the better form of self-defense against a bear. And they just ignore that, don't they?
Yes, I'd say so. In the studies that have been done about bear spray and firearms, I think what we have is select in the U.S. And those studies were done particularly for Alaska, so they don't look at data outside of Alaska.
Right.
And that limits them quite a bit. And it's a formula where you can get selection bias, even if it's not conscious, can easily fall into place. As a scientist, you have to guard against selection bias because it's a natural thing that people do without thinking.
Right.
You know, and so here's an example. Ferrero and Tom Smith, after the bear spray study, did a study on efficacy of firearms in Alaska. Now, the bear spray study specifically excluded times when bear spray was not used.
We're going to run out of time before you get to finish this. So we'll have to pick this up on the Friday show. So we'll have to do that. Outstanding stuff. I love the bear talk. And Dean's the only one that does that. I mean, Dean is being noticed by all kinds of people all over the world for this, you know, very unique perspective on the database he's making. Thank you very much for joining me today, sir.
It's always a pleasure, Phil.
Yes, sir. Back again in 21 hours. And between now and then, you should remember this. It has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
We know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.